Hello, person who is interested in weed, cannabis culture in the Americas. I am, before mentioned books, author, Caitlin Donahue. I am a Mexico City-based drug journalist who grew up in San Francisco and Portland, Oregon. And yeah, I thought we could do this by just talking about a couple of the most common questions that I get about the book. So let's get into it. The first question that I always get is, why did you write a book about cannabis for young people? I like to answer this question with a story from my youth. When I was about 11, 12, I was in middle school. We had one of these like very just say no, dare style lessons about drugs. I was a very nervous kid to begin with, and it really scared me, this lesson. And I ran home from school, which was saying something, because I played the trumpet, and the trumpet case was very heavy, but I made it there, waited for my mom to get home. She got home, and I was like, Mom, did you know these things are called drugs, and they're bad, and the people who do them are bad? And I'm very grateful to my mom for saying at that juncture, you know, Kate, your mom has done drugs, which, wow, whoa. Like, not only is prohibitionist drug education very damaging to our own personal health, because many young people will come into contact with psychoactive substances, whether they're doing it or someone they love is doing them, and just say no leaves them without any tools to navigate safer, more responsible uses of drugs. So that's one thing. But it also teaches us to be this like very racist, classist worldview. Because when Just Say No talks about drug users, they are not talking about a responsible adult who drinks a glass of wine at the end of the day. They're not talking about all of us who are downing Diet Coke or other kinds of refined sugar. They are talking about a very specific demonized view, mainly of people of color, also of poor white people, that is then used to justify this wide sweeping prison industrial complex we have in our country, and also a militarized human rights violating situation that we have going on our national borders. So it's really important that we counteract those kinds of prohibitionist messaging for our young people, because it is a way of instilling these prejudices from an early age. And we're not here for that. There's no time for that in 2023. Next question. We're still not sure about the effects that cannabis consumption has on young bodies, on teens, cognitive skills, etc. Should young people even be learning more about this drug by reading entire books about it? Even if we knew for sure that cannabis was absolutely horrible, that young people would die 5 years later after smoking their first joint, even then, young people would deserve to know about this drug. It would be even more important that they know about this drug. But the fact of the matter is that prohibition has severely handicapped our knowledge of cannabis. There are not conclusive findings on the effects that cannabis has on our bodies, and there are not conclusive findings on the effects that cannabis has on young people's bodies. There are certain correlations that are popping up. For example, relationships to the degradation of cognitive systems in young people, and also the appearance of certain mental health conditions. But we don't know what's going on when we don't know what kind of correlation it is. We certainly don't know like how many joints in a year is going to cause X level of cognitive decline. We don't know that stuff. So anyone who says that they know is lying to young people and to everyone in general. So the way that we can teach young people at this point to navigate their relationship with drugs is the subject of the first chapter of Weed, which is an interview with nursing professor from University of British Columbia, Emily Jenkins, who is a specialist in youth drug education, particularly cannabis. Emily says it's important for young people to be aware of a concept that's called the spectrum of use, right? So if prohibitionist education teaches us that there is only abstinence and absolute falling into decadence and homelessness and unemployment, and no one will ever love you, and you're going to die young. Then spectrum of use teaches us that there's actually a lot of different kinds of drug consumptions in between those two different points. So there are people who try cannabis once or twice and say, eh, it's not for me. There are people who consume drugs once in a blue moon at a party or something like that. There are people who consume it normally, regularly, and manage to have a very functional relationship with them. And then there, yes, there are very problematic uses of all psychoactive substances. But that is the kind of model that we need to be teaching young people instead of abstinence versus addiction, because one, it's real. And two, it's important that young people learn that the impact that drugs have on our life is not based on their legal status, because there's lots of legal drugs that can harm us. It's not based on what our parents think of those substances. And it's actually not even based on like how much we do of those substances, because different amounts of drugs can impact people in different ways. So we really need to teach kids that they need to be able to analyze, is this drug keeping me from forming healthy relationships? Is it keeping me from being successful in school? Is it keeping me from being on time to work? And that is the metric of whether or not their relationship with a substance has passed over into being problematic. So next question. I know that weed is built around 17 interviews with people from Canada, Argentina. Why such a large geographic range? Okay, so this is my second book for young people. My first is called She Represents. It's about global women political leaders. You can also find it at Zest Learner Books. For me, it's very important to give young people an international perspective. Part of that is personal. I've been living outside the United States. I've lived in a lot of different countries around the world. I'm currently based in Mexico City, where I've been for the past 9 years. The city has taught me so much, particularly about drug economies and drugs in general. I think a lot of times growing up in the United States, our mainstream media and politicians, our educational systems don't really teach us to look beyond the borders of the United States for answers. They don't humanize people from outside the United States. That leaves us quite ignorant. And there are politicians in particular who will play on that ignorance, no? And assign the blame for our country's problems to people outside of our country, when they're actually not causing them, and there's actually much more deep-seated causes for those issues within our own country. So I think by learning about the world around us, we actually can learn more about the United States. And yeah, it's built around 17 interviews. So weed, again, I'm a drug journalist. I love the form of conversation for communicating information and for teaching. And so in weed, I interviewed 17 different people from around the hemisphere. And yeah, you're going to meet a lot of like very innovative, very forward-thinking, smart individuals in this book. And next question, how'd you choose the people you interviewed? Great question. I chose the people I interviewed because they have an experience with one of the wide-ranging roles that cannabis plays in our society. So you're going to get everyone from a 14-year-old from Buenos Aires who is a medical marijuana patient, to a auto shop worker from LA who talks about the impacts of being incarcerated as a teenager on felony cannabis charges. You're going to talk with a man, Rastafari from Jamaica, who has started the process of educating tourists about Rastafari culture and in the context of this book, Rastafari relationship with cannabis. You're going to talk to a Mexican hemp architecture specialist who talks about planting your home, guy from Medellin who makes hemp-based boots, a cannabis chef from Chicago, and all this is to make the point that we're talking about, this is all about the same leafy green plant. It's all the same plant. And yet, humans have managed to give it so many different contexts. So what I want kids to take from this is that there aren't bad drugs and good drugs. There are the contexts that we as human beings give to them with our consumption of them. So, next question. All right, so this is a message book. What do you want readers to take away from it? Well, I want them to take away these lessons about harm reduction, because that's what this concept of the spectrum of use comes down to, is like finding ways to be more safe and responsible with our consumption of psychoactive substances. That is like the number one thing that I want them to take away from it. I also want them to take away the fact that we are constantly learning more about cannabis. This is an area of massive growth of knowledge, and I want them to know that it is on them to continue their education, that this book, Weed, is a starting point for this conversation, but that they are going to take it from there, and it's up to them to find knowledgeable, trustworthy sources of information about this stuff, and that they should be very critical about people who say they have the absolute answer really about anything. Trust no one. Cool. And then last question, how are you planning on celebrating the book's release? If you are part of a group, like a kids group, a youth group, a parents group, a school group, a drug justice group, a community group, any of those, I hope that you can check out Weed Cannabis Culture in the Americas. And if you are interested in having me zoom in to your group's meeting, hit me up. I'm on Instagram at Birdwatch, that's BYRD Watch, and on Twitter at Caitlin Donahue. And I would love to hear from you, hear your thoughts on the book. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Learner Podcast. Tune in again next time for more author interviews and the stories behind the books.